This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, we're talking about, you know, the Niners. We're talking about Debo. We're talking about Dre Greenlaw. We talk Fred Warner.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Purdy and vibes around the team. Just not where they need to be right now, but the vibes at the Golden State Warriors are getting better and they're increasing. Why? Well, the addition of Jimmy Butler, but also this update from Warriors PR yesterday, Nick Friedell. Warriors forward Jonathan Kuminga, who suffered a sprained right ankle on January 4th versus Memphis and has missed the last 21 games, returned to team practice yesterday at Chase Center for the first time since sustaining the injury. His return to game action will be based on his continued progress and physical readiness. JK could not have come at a better time, Nick Friedell.
He's on the way. That is always a tell from a PR staff that we're only a couple more steps from a few more practices usually to get him back on the floor. Spadone, obviously the Warriors are going to be more cautious because he has been out so long. But we'd all agree, with Kuminga out there on the floor, it brings a different dimension to this Warriors group. What I am so interested in as the practices start up again and as Kuminga starts to feel better on that ankle, how does he fit alongside Jimmy Butler? So much of the last couple weeks has been, well, Jimmy fits. We know he can get to the line. He's the yin to Steph's yang as far as offense. They can both create their shots. Kuminga was playing very well before he got hurt, but Kuminga was playing on a team without Jimmy Butler, and at times, because of where Steph and Draymond were, he had to carry a lot of the offensive load in certain games. How does he fit in, knowing what's on the line for him, not only the rest of this year, going into the summer, and hoping that he gets that next contract deal?
It's also that. It's also the adjustment from all these players, right, that have been now, you know, you have the addition. I'm thinking about guys like on the fringes that are going to be important pieces going forward, though. A guy like a Brandon Pajemski, a guy like a Moses Moody, Quinn Post at times, right? Buddy Hield, like the minute allocation and their roles on this team now. So not only do you make a huge trade for Jimmy Butler to bring him in, and the amount of minutes he's going to get and the amount of attention he's going to garner, but now you bring Jonathan Kuminga back into the fold. So how are things going to change there? That's up to Steve Kerr, the head coach. And so I look at Steve, and maybe he does have the biggest adjustment. You know, if we go outside of the players, it's Steve trying to figure out this Tetris puzzle, this Rubik's Cube, if you will, this, as we've been talking, just finding out what fits and what doesn't. And, you know, we were talking to Tim Hardaway early in the week, Hall of Famer, obviously a Warriors and Heat legend. And, you know, we were asking about, you know, how does, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, you know, integrate himself into this new lineup? Just play, just be yourself, play who you are, be who you are. Just go out there and be Jonathan Kuminga. Is Jonathan Kuminga going to have to play differently at all, do you think, Nick, when he does come back out there? Or is it as simple as Tim Hardaway puts it and says, just play your game? Is it just putting your head down, getting to the line, being aggressive, trying to attack the glass? Again, his three-point shot, I think when it's in rhythm and it's a quick pass, hey, pull up, great. If he has to think about it and he has to, you know, just to take a quick one or two dribbles, it's usually not going in. I do think his mid-range game is underrated. I think he can get to a shot. He's a big athletic guy. He can get to that shot, that Wiggins, that Jimmy Butler type of mid-range shot. He has that in his arsenal. But is it as simple as saying, you know what, JK comes back and he just needs to be who he was prior to the injury?
It's very simple in theory, Spadone, that if you're Kuminga, yeah, I'll just play the way I was playing. But as we know, it wasn't the same personnel out there on the floor. What I'm curious about for Steve Kerr and that coaching staff is, how do you get a young player like Kuminga, who was having so much success in various doses before that injury, to play at a level where he's not trying to press too hard to fit back in? On top of, we know what that contract extension potentially could be over the summer. We know what he wants and what his agent wants moving forward. But how do you get a young player to stop thinking about that going into the stretch drive of the year? This is where the mindset of Jonathan Kuminga becomes most important to me for anything that the Warriors do. If he's pressing too much and he's saying, I got to put up my numbers, I have to try and stand out a little bit in this star-studded group now with Jimmy Butler. If he presses, that could spell a lot of messy lineup combinations and rotation sets for Kerr and his staff. If Kuminga comes out and just says, I'm going to fit in for the best of the group, my time and my money will come, well, then the Warriors are going to be set up not only to make potentially a solid playoff run into the summer, Kuminga will get paid, and if they believe that he can be the guy that they hope he can be, I'll tell you exactly who will sign off on it. It'll be Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and now, because of his standing in the league and the fact that the Warriors just paid him some big, big money for the next couple years, it'll be Jimmy Butler as well.
Brian Geltzeiler, Sirius XM NBA Radio, joined Steiny and Goo yesterday. Geltzy, on Jonathan Kuminga's return, he thinks it's going to be a godsend, Nick.
But I'll also say this, when Kuminga comes back, he's going to be a godsend, because the one other element they're missing is that uber-athletic guy, and I think Jonathan Kuminga can absolutely be that. And Kuminga, with not having to be a lead guy and just kind of having what he gives you be extra and be gravy, and knowing that if he's not playing great, you have the luxury of sitting him down, that's the perfect scenario for Jonathan Kuminga 2025.
And that's the tricky part, as you just alluded to. It's like, yeah, it's easy for, on one aspect to say, hey, the load's going to be lessened off him. He doesn't need to be that number two scorer for this team going forward because you got Jimmy Butler. But if I'm Jonathan Kuminga, don't I like being the second leading scorer? Because that's something my agent's going to use in negotiations. That's something I'm going to say. Like, listen, when I was out there with Steph, when I was the number two guy, I was producing. Well, you bumped me down to the three guy, you reduced my minutes. Why do you think I'm not producing as much? So it goes back into contract negotiations always with this stuff. And we're projecting a little bit here. But for the here and now, like, I agree with Geldseiler. You have an older team, an older trio in Steph, Dre, and Jimmy. You need, especially in the Western Conference, as we were talking about getting our head over our heels when it comes to championship aspirations, right? Mm-hmm. You just think of the West, it is young, it is fast, it is big. What is Jonathan Kuminga? All of those things.
Check, check, check.
You need all of those. And that's what some of those guys lack on your team. Yes, Steph can still be quicker than most. He can still get his shot off. He could still be that guy offensively. Defensively, you know what you're getting. You're not getting much. Jimmy Butler, he's very strong. He is big. Quickness, not as much, right?
The defense that is still very good isn't to the level it used to be even a couple years ago in Miami.
And I'd say the same with Draymond Green. Big guy, big body still, great defensively at times, not as consistent, can still be a good ball handler and a playmaker, and his shot will go down occasionally, but he's not a traditional scorer. So I'm going to need Jonathan Kuminga to be that guy that can pick up all the weaknesses of those big three now that we're calling it, that can he be that guy to pick up where those guys are now leaving off at that end of the table?
I think he can. I think he can fill in some of the gaps the same way Jimmy did for this group, Spadone. But it is interesting in the contract negotiation context, because what was the story that came out last year? Jonathan Kuminga and Steve Kerr aren't on the same page.
Yeah.
And historically in the league, usually that's coming from an agent somewhere trying to push their client's best interest, or what they believe to be their best interest, to the forefront. The issue for the Warriors is now you're closer to those contract negotiations. You've got to figure out if Kuminga is a piece that you want to continue to build around for your franchise or potentially put him in some kind of sign and trade. I am intrigued by the idea that Kuminga is needed on this team for them to be at their best. But in order to be at their best, he might have to make a personal sacrifice where he's not putting up those numbers every night that he would want to. Is he at the place in his career where he feels comfortable doing that? The greater good of the team over the good of oneself at a time when it behooves a young player to put up those numbers that you're talking about and get those extra minutes. If Kuminga can do that, I think it'll go a long way for goodwill towards his feelings about the Warriors and the Warriors' feelings about him.
He's still only 22, which is insane. He's still so young in regards to, and he was so raw when he came out of the G League Ignite, right? And we've been talking about this in the, what is it? What's the word I'm looking for? It'll hit me in a second, but you talk about him as a player coming out, and you have the more polished Moses Moody, obviously, from Arkansas. He was one and done, but he was an old soul. And you keep talking about potential, right? That's the word I wanted to say. Potential with Jonathan Kuminga, and he's finally reaching that, and then he gets hurt, and now he's back to this whole different scenario. I just hope we as a fan base could have some patience for Jonathan, too. Like, I don't want him to go out there and he struggles a couple games. It's like, oh, well, he's ruining all this. You know, we got to, you know, I don't think we can sign him. Let's, as we're watching with the Lakers and Luka Doncic, who's been struggling in the first few games, and Luka, you know, he's an all-pro five times, whatever it is, all-NBA, excuse me. Let's give Jonathan Kuminga a little grace here, Nick, before we start crushing it in his fit with this team, because this is a very, like, as far as fitting in now, being out, it's almost like, you know when you're in school and you're really sick or you had to do something or you lost someone, there was a tragedy, and you were gone a long time. And all of a sudden you come back and there's a new teacher that's teaching the class, and it's just...
What happened?
Like, whoa, I feel lost. I feel like I'm not catching up now. My routine's out of whack. Like, there's going to be an adjustment period for Jonathan. I just hope the fan base and Dub Nation can give him some grace in this, because he might be pushing a little bit, as you're saying.
I think it's a very human reaction if he does. But Spadone, what I'm curious about is how does the fan base feel as Kuminga as a building block for the future? We know what he's done in these first couple years, and we have seen, and always the key word that pops up with Kuminga to this point, the flashes that have appeared. But do Warriors fans believe that he is the type of guy who's going to develop, improve, and become one of the key building blocks on a team that all of a sudden has hope again and has at least the mirage of a championship on its horizon, despite what Draymond said repeatedly over All-Star weekend? I just don't feel like the fan base is 100% in either direction, that Kuminga is going to be the next piece that they need, or that they're ready to give up and say, all right, let's move Kuminga in the summer, get the deal done, put him in a sign and trade, and get somebody who's a little bit older and a little bit more polished in here, and let's see what can happen.
It's almost funny because in a way, you know, and I get it, his assets and what he brings to the table are different than this player, but it's almost like if it doesn't work out and you do move off of him and it's a sign and trade, or we'll see, you sign him or you don't. You know, Andrew Wiggins as a player right now could still, like, if you just imagine Andrew Wiggins with Jimmy Butler and Steph and Draymond, because Wiggins is young enough too, to you could have looked at those top four and be like, wow, you know, that's something there. Now, Miami, what were they asking for? What were the Warriors? They didn't want to give up Jonathan Kuminga. Now they wanted to keep him. He's a huge piece.
Well, you know
piece.
They must have been asking for Kuminga prior to
Correct.
The real breakdown at the end with Jimmy in Miami.
Because obviously the talks got to a point where his value was just completely tanked. Pat Riley knew, Eric Spoelstra knew, we need to get something for this guy.
And get him
something.
Out of here.
And get him out of here. And they did that, and they settled. And they got Andrew Wiggins, who, again, nice piece. Doesn't have the future potentially of a Jonathan Kuminga, but is a nice piece. Was the second plus player on a championship team at one point. And you know what you're going to get off the court. He's going to be a lunch pail guy. He's going to go there. He's not going to get hurt generally. He's going to be available. You know what you got there. But it almost feels like, you know, if I was adding Andrew Wiggins back to this team instead of a Jonathan Kuminga, it'd be a lot easier because you know what Andrew Wiggins you're going to get. You're not going to get a guy that could potentially be frustrated with his role. You know what his role was going to be. I mean, just think about last year with Andrew Wiggins. And listen, people are probably tuning in and saying, is Spadone insinuating that they should have traded Kuminga and kept Wiggins? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's levels to players and their roles and what you expect out of them going forward. And Jonathan Kuminga is a wild card in this scenario because he is so young and because he is trying to get a contract for the first time, a big contract outside of his rookie deal. And I don't know what to expect from him going forward because he's coming to a brand new team, basically. Brand new is strong, but Jimmy Butler is on the team. He left when you had, you know, Andrew Wiggins and Kyle Anderson and D'Anthony Melton and all those guys. Now, D'Anthony Melton was out prior to that, but you get what I'm saying. I don't know what to expect from Jonathan Kuminga. I don't.
I just think this is a perfect moment to remind everybody that the Warriors have Kuminga and he continues to improve, and they got Wiggins. And who did they trade to get both of those guys, Spadone? D'Angelo Russell. And so as we're talking through this morning about roster building and where do you feel most comfortable and which team's vibes are feeling the best, it is so critical to remember that in order to give yourselves the best chances at winning these titles, of course it comes down to the stars, always the Stephs and the Draymonds, and before the injuries piled up, Clay when he was still here, and getting Kevin Durant to sign off on coming here. But it is those other moves under the radar that always, always, always make such a big difference. And that move specifically with Wiggins and the pick that became Kuminga for D'Angelo Russell to Minnesota, for the missteps that the Warriors front office have made, certainly in the draft, and James Wiseman at number two comes right to the forefront. That trade was an absolute home run for then Bob Myers and that staff.
Jonathan Kuminga, is he the team's, when he comes back here, is Is he the team's third best player or fourth best player? Are you ranking Draymond ahead of him in this hierarchy?
I would still put Draymond ahead of him because Draymond, when he's locked in defensively, is unbelievable still. Kuminga probably has more ability to impact the game on both ends. I don't think that's in any question. But Draymond, after so many years playing at such a high level on the defensive end, can sway things at a level that Kuminga just hasn't shown to do yet.
See, I'm looking at this final stretch here, and if he can pick up where he left off and he could push for that third spot in the hierarchy of this team, not to say that he's going to be the leader of Draymond. Draymond, he's cemented his status with this team. He's one of the leaders of it. He's the team's best defensive player. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if Steph doesn't have it, if Jimmy, the shots aren't falling, I could lean on Jonathan Kuminga. And if he could be that guy going forward, I think, yeah, you could absolutely be talking about Western Conference Finals for this team, because if he could continue what he did prior to the injury and that trajectory he was on, see, that's why I'm thinking we're looking at this in the way of was like, oh, we're adding like a sixth man. We're adding like a fourth guy. But if you look at it in this lens, and I was listening to the crosstalk yesterday with Steiny, Goo, Willard, and Dibs, they're talking about, you know, duos or trios in the league right now, or who are you taking over Steph, Dre, and Jimmy right now? What, like, how many trios or duos are you taking over just Steph and Jimmy as well? I was like, well, what if I said it was, you know, Steph, Jimmy, and Kuminga? Like, how if we viewed it about that? Because I do think we're shortchanging his abilities offensively a little bit here and what he can give, because I know Draymond as a playmaker is great, but I've seen Kuminga with the best of him drive to the hoop, get to the foul line, the three-point shot's going, the mid-range is going. Like, there's a potential here. Again, that word potential. This could be special with those top three guys if Kuminga turns into the player that many think he could be, Nick.
Spadone, if Kuminga turns into that player, two things will absolutely happen. One, the window and ceiling for this team become a lot wider and a lot higher, and you start to think more seriously about, all right, is there one more legit push within them? Number two, if Jonathan Kuminga over the next 2 months of the regular season and however long they were to go in the playoffs becomes the third guy on this team, he's going to get paid exactly what he wants. There's not going to be a fight going back and forth between player and organization saying, I don't know, why don't you go try to find that somewhere else and bring it back to us. If he takes that kind of step, the Warriors are in great shape, and so is Kuminga from a financial standpoint.
888-957-9570. Dub fans, where are we at with Jonathan Kuminga? What are your expectations of Jonathan Kuminga when he does rejoin this team with Jimmy Butler, that new addition? How is he going to fit in there? Are you expecting Steve Kerr to slowly integrate him back? Is he going to be coming off the bench? Probably. There's so many different angles with the Jonathan Kuminga discussion. I would love to hear Dub Nation's thoughts. 888-957-9570. As we're talking about vibes this morning, doing vibe checks and all the teams, how are we feeling about the Niners? Well, we're a little down on the Niners. We're feeling great about the Warriors. And, you know, we actually asked the question early on in the week about, you know, Steph winning his fifth in comparison to, you know, the San Francisco 49ers. If they want their quest for six, right? Their sixth Lombardi. I was like, oh, give me Steph's fifth. Absolutely. And if Jonathan Kuminga is a part of that and he helps Steph get his fifth ring, oh, yeah, that guy's getting paid. Maybe not this year or next year, but he's going to be also not getting paid. He's going to be getting legend status, because not only do you have a building block for now, Nick Friedell, for the he's 22. He's 22. He could be doing this for the next decade for the organization. That's why I'm so hesitant on moving off a guy like that, because the tantalizing aspect of his play, and quite frankly, there's not another young guy on this team right now where I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a huge building block for the future. Like, I like Moses Moody. He's a solid piece. I like Brandon Podziemski. Solid piece. Trace Jackson Davis at times. Solid. Quentin Post for a cup of coffee. Guy Santos. Great. But Jonathan Kuminga is the guy where it's like, if this guy hits, we hit on something for the next decade plus. And that sells me on the future past Steph. And that's why I'm going to be locked in going forward with this team, not being like the Chicago Bulls post Jordan. Right?
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.